May the 7th be with you. We, well, Mum, got a phone call from the passport people this morning saying her picture was unacceptable. She refused to tell us why, but me and Dad suspected that when she was in the booth, she quickly put on a large amount of makeup because she came out smelling like wet wipes. She was in a foul mood and a perm had fallen out, as she called it. When she was showering this morning, her hair hadn't fallen out, but the tight curls now looked like some kind of frizz. Looked like it'd been burnt, actually. When she came back from having a photo taken, she left it on the mantelpiece. Oh, it was horrible. Grumpy looking face, I tell thee. This afternoon, Dad suddenly woke up from his mid-afternoon nap and shouted, I hated the Flintstones! He then looked scared, sort of looked over at me, and then just went back to sleep. He's a strange old codger. 8th of May! May 2, 4th... It's 2 4s, isn't it, and 8. So that's like twice May the 4th be with you. We got a letter this morning saying that due to terrorist and illegal immigrants activity in the nation, everyone who applies for a passport now has to go to a special building and have an interview to prove who they are. So on the 15th, we have to go to the next town over. We're going to make a day of it and go for these interviews after we've had a picnic. So Dad's put together a packed lunch, some fruit squash. We got the consummation blanket out. That's what Dad calls it. The wicker hamper and Dad's best party plates. I'm going to pretend it's like the 1950s because I think that's what people did in the 50s, wasn't it? Well, what else are you going to do when you haven't got TV or antique-based competition programmes like Bargain Hunt? I don't know why Dad calls it the consummation blanket, and thinking about it, I'm not sure I ever want to know or sit on it even. Ninth of May. Much luck, much ado about nothing was rubbish.
What you saying about much ado about nothing?
Sir Jeremy, none of this concerns you. Please leave the room.
I'm going to leave the room because I'm taking Cecil out to the cafe.
Yeah, well, can you do it quietly, please? I'm recording my podcast.
All right, can I do my rap song?
No.
Please.
No.
Please.
No.
I'd like to date your daughter.
Shut up, Sir Jeremy.
Really want to court her.
I thought you were going to tell me to shut up. I'm just going to wait for you because it's stupid. I've forgotten the rest.
I'd like to date your daughter. I really want to court her. Don't you think I ought to? No.
Tough. Bummed her. Sir Jeremy. God. Can you go out, please?
Cecil, take Sir Jeremy out, please.
What?
Fine. I'm never going to get on Britain's Got Talent. Because you ain't got none. Can you just leave me alone? I'm doing this, please. 9th of May. Much like a blues song. Oh, we'll get this mountain. Feeling blue, actually. Dad had left my bedroom window open. And by Jilly Cooper? By God, I was cold. I don't know where Jilly Cooper came from in my brain. There was severe penile shrinkage. That's where it comes from. Jilly Cooper does make my penis shrink because she terrifies me. She's too rambunctious. Anyway, there was severe penile shrinkage, which, given how tiny it is in the first place, is quite an achievement, I tell you. It's like someone sucked an acorn up into their anus. Looked like a woman. What I imagine a woman looks like is if you just got a tiny acorn and pushed it in. And that's just what it had looked like, sort of one little finger's worth of inverted acorn. Anyway, sorry, I've gone off subject. I came downstairs into the sitting room, or the living room, whichever, you know, you want to call it, dear Dyer, it's fine. And Dad was sat in his armchair with the silver trinket box in his hand. He was just sort of staring at it. And I said something like, "So, Cecil, why do you here?" Which is a quote from the modern Battlestar Galactica. And he should have replied with, "Nothing but the rain." To which then I would reply back to him, "Then grab your gun and bring the cat in." Which is such a ridiculous thing to say. Me and Cecil like to say it. It's just stupid. And they say it on Battlestar Galactica all the time. Though we don't say it around Tony, because he lent us Battlestar Galactica DVD some time ago. And he absolutely loves it. He thinks it's like how people rave about Shakespeare. He raves about Battlestar Galactica like it's a brave new frontier. It's not. It's tedious and dull. Rubbish. Cecil never did snap out of his contemplation of that silver trinket box. He sat there for hours, till he actually looked closer and realised he'd gone to sleep with his eyes open, which is a horrible thing to witness. His eyes sort of zoom around when he's dreaming, and so I like to go up close to his face and just sort of go, "Hello, Cecil, you're back in the woo-woo, having war," and then I'll just sort of snap out of it, but he's weird usually. Serves him right. 10th of May. We got another phone call from the Pathbar people confirming our interview times today. Not our interview times today, but you know what I mean. Mum isn't bothered. But Dad says he's going to get his best suit dry cleaned and pressed. And I'm just freaking right the hell out. I'll tell thee for why. What if I get my information wrong? What if the pressure me into admitting I'm a terrorist? What, you know, I don't know. I'll crack. I know I will. I can't take high pressure situations. Like, if I'm ever walking down the street and a policeman comes the other way towards me, I almost always have to look him in the eye, because it's a man always. I look him in the eye and say, "I haven't done anything, officer." Which will get you stops and search just as much as you think it would. Just, I don't do pressure. I'm not good with it. That's why I can never use the urinals at toilets. I have to go into a booth because I'm scared if the man next to me is weeing. And obviously I won't be able to because I've got a shy bladder because I'm a tiny cock. I don't want him looking over and going, "Oh, he's just come in to look at my winkle." And I haven't. It's just it don't come out. It gets shy and goes back into its shell like a turtle. Sorry, that's an aside. I don't want to go to this passport interview. I've only ever had one job interview before, and that ended in the worst way possible. I got the job. But I only got the job, I realised, in retrospect, because I was free on New Labour's New Deal. So the bastards got me into work for free. Ugh. 11th of May. Oh dear. Today we got some men come round to dig out half the garden, flatten down all the earth, and then lay a concrete foundation for our radio studio. But what's wrong with that here, you whimper, dear diary? Well, it's an oh dear of about factor 5, which is half of an oh dear, which is what the Chuckle Brothers level normally is. But yeah, my oh dear was just of a factor 5, because when they'd done it, and they'd gone home and buggered off, probably get some more tattoos on the face. Next door's cat decided to jump in the wet concrete and walk around in it, making loads of cat paw shapes in all the concrete that was still wet. Mum was furious. She said she would have kicked it if she could have seen it. And she says she's not paying for them to come back and redo it. So now our studio floor's got cat paws in it. Might be good luck though. It is a black cat. Oh, Christmas puppy's about to kick off. That was actually what you did, wasn't it, Christmas puppy? You walked on the studio floor, but I changed it for the I wanted to hide your identity. She's looking at me as if to say, "I can't believe you told him." But in the real thing that really happened, I had to go get the tattooed man, and he did come back, although he was just down the drive, and he wasn't happy about having to redo it, was he, Christmas puppy? And Cecil shouted at me as well, grumpy that day. He's frightened of workmen, doesn't like making them have to do. Anyway, I've gone off script. Actually, I don't know if the floor is made of concrete or cement. What's the difference? I think one's more coarse, isn't it? Don't know. Don't really care. Don't do manual labour. It's not something I have to worry about. 12th of May. Which is 3 May the 4th, be with you. With only 2 months or so to Tony's birthday, his wife has been on at Margaret to help her throw him a surprise party. Mum said to me that when she had left... What did you say, Mum? I said, that Michaela's got some bloody nerve. And if she thinks I'm spending my evenings making finger mouse puppets for 40 people, she can go climb up on top of our record player and spin on it. I don't know why she would do that, but Mum was furious. But then she always is. If you ask her to do any work on an evening or any time of the day, just if you speak to her in general, right, nasty cow?
Hey, I heard that, you bastard.
Point proven, I think. 13th of May. And this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Indeed, and this will go down as the day of one of the days in history that's changed my life. Let me explain what happened. This morning I woke up as I do every morning at about 1 p.m. I came downstairs, had my breakfasts, then went back to watching the taped bargain hunts. Mum and Dad were getting the picnic ready for our outing at 1 o'clock. Not 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock rock. When Tony pulled up in his wife's car, we all got in it and went 40 miles to the town just above ours to do our passport interviews. Then we went and had the picnic in a local park till, you know, time for our interviews were ready, obviously. I don't know why I'm going on and on about the specific candidates of the time. Anyway, 5 to 3 came round and a tidal waves of nerves swept over me. Like a swoon on a medieval maiden. And with that, I needed to poo. But I had no time, couldn't poo. We'd just got to the offices, where we were meant to be, and my interview was about to start. So we sat on little plastic chairs, none of us speaking. It's a bit like waiting outside the boardroom for Sir Lord Alan Sugar's apprentice. Dad was mentally going over the year he was born. Christmas puppy. I was desperately trying not to trump and let some go, because I knew it would. And Mum was just sort of joggling her legs up and down and laughing to herself. But it was a laughter of panic. I thought I was going to be detained for being a terrorist, because I couldn't remember what I had for my 6th birthday lunch. But then a lovely businesswoman came out and said, "Can the taxis follow me, please?" It was at this point I forgot my middle names. We followed her down like several... I had a flashback to the lady's bottom. We followed her down several maze-like corridors, and we were each shown into individual rooms. The rooms were very small and only had 2 plastic chairs in, like you might find in a school or meeting hall, but not on a bandstand. There was also a square table in the room. The chairs were opposite sides of the table, and I sat down and was told someone would be there presently. The lovely bottomed lady left. The single fluorescent light in the ceiling was buzzing, as if an air of ominousness was just about to befuddle me. After about 5 minutes, just as someone came to the door, my trump burst free, as trumps sometimes do. You hold it in, you clench, but then you can't clench, you just relax, and then... And that's what happened. Then the door opened, and in walked a standard businessman in his late 50s, wearing a sort of blue shirt and tie. He was overweight, of course, and he looked a bit grumpy. He threw a folder down on the desk. Ow, that didn't work. It was supposed to be the folder, but I just accidentally hit my record of achievement, which is what I'm using as a mouse mat. Sorry. He threw a folder down on the desk. Ow. He dragged the chair across the room and got a pack of cigarettes out of his top pocket and lit one up. He opened the folder, read it for a second to himself, then looked up at me and scowled. Ah, you've been a naughty boy, ain't ya? He said in a gruff, almost cartoon-like Cockney accent. I instantly burst into tears, I'll be honest with you. Ah, we got a bloody gusher, ya? Can't do a Cockney accent, apologise. If I were in your position, I'd be bloody crying too. You're looking at 10 years for this sunshine. I tried to speak, but I panicked. The fear swelled up within me and caused more trumps to shoot out. He leaned towards my face. Oh, he reeked of coffee and cigarette smoke. What's your bloody name and where do you live in? He asked. I just said, I'm Balthax. I live at Cristella. I blurted out through a cascade of tears and fear and trumps. Well, Sonny Jim McBoy, that's not what I've got written down here. Sorry. Says you live on Linda Street. He said even more cockney and even more mockingly.
Oh, we just moved out, I forgot, sorry. I said.
And who lives in your house with you?
And he just sort of did air quotes around the word house right close to my face like he was trying to touch my eyebrows. And I sort of moved slightly away and flinched a bit. And I said, I live with my mum and dad, Margaret and Cecil.
Oh, mummy's boy, are you?
He said. And he mocked me even more. And sort of laughing at me a bit now. And then I thought, right, sod this. I got brave. Resilient even, and I said, I want to see my lawyer. And he sort of slammed shut the folder with my documents in, stood up and then started screaming,
ah, there's not going to be any lawyers where you're going. Do you know what they're doing to people like you? Wah.
I know it sounds a bit like Margaret, but I can only do so many voices. I just burst into tears. I managed to blurt out,
no, please don't put me away. Don't make me go in there. I don't want to be bombed.
He walked round the edge of the table and then he tried to pick me up by my collars. But obviously he wasn't strong enough, so he just sort of slumped down and stooped near me. He put his face right close to mine and said,
oh, you've gone and done it now, haven't you? It's 10 years, you numpty. 10 long apple and pears for you, my boy. You wait here. I'm going to get the paperwork. Why don't you wallow in your own stench for a minute? I'll be right back.
Went right to Margaret at the end there for fun. And he got up and he walked out the door. And I was just sat there weeping. 1 minute later, he came back in with a small cardboard box. I assumed to put my worldly possessions in before I got taken to prison. I'm still not clear what the charges were. He put it on the table and reached in, and he pulled out a flat black egg/oval-shaped thing. He then reached into the box and did something. Suddenly, music started playing, a kind of big band, show tunes kind of music. The nasty businessman sort of struck a pose, like both arms outstretched, sides of him, and then he had a big smile on his face. He sort of stood still. Then the music built up to a crescendo and the businessman smacked the black oval thing and it burst into the shape of a top hat. He did sort of a magical movement with the other hand and a cane appeared as if from nowhere. And then he started tap dancing. There was all sort of music going on. Then he started singing, I'm a boy,
you don't come up short because you got your passport.
It was weird. And then he sort of did a little tap dance, like a Lionel Blair. Don't know if he's dead anymore. Then the second he finished, I jumped up to my feet and started clapping madly. It was brilliant. I loved the theatre. I asked him to do it again, and he did. Later on, he explained that they do the interviews like that because, as he puts it,
it gets really boring, dear boy.
That's what he spoke like. Normally, they just ask people to confirm where they live and who they live with, but they like to change it up every once in a while. I asked for his autograph and I took a selfie with him. He said he did some acting semi-professionally. It was once in the bill. He also did a play with Paul. I looked into the flame, Nicholas. You know, who played Earthfast's Nanny Jack John. In the end, I asked him if he ever thought about working on the radio. And he said he'd think about it. And he gave me a wink on the way out. He was such a nice man. Mum had similar, with a woman dressed as a clown. Mum punched her. And Dad was really miserable because he just had a normal interview. But his interviewer kept changing accents every 20 seconds. It was a fun day out, all in all. And it, as it turns out, it was just Trump's. Not even one chunk of poo came out. Result.